Good morning. Good morning. Well, I'm probably going to be leaving in a couple of minutes. The teacher will be here. This is the Fellowship Hall class on Sunday morning, July the 17th. A Holy Spirit in Action with Bill Horton. And the class will be starting in about 11 minutes. Bye-bye. And good morning to you, Carol. How are you? Well, good. Who brought you this morning? Becky?
I'm sorry?
Who was it who got you from your house to here?
Judy.
Judy did. Wonderful. Well, she's off helping down in the cottages then.
Right.
Very good. How are you doing?
Okay.
Wonderful. I am glad for that.
A little cooler this morning.
You know what? For July, it felt wonderful. We won't have many cool mornings for a while, especially once we hit August and September and early October.
Oh, yes.
Well, good. How are things going at your place where you live?
Enough to know that.
Uh-huh. How are things going for you at your residence?
I'm sorry?
How are things going at your place where you live?
Oh, yeah. They're renovating our building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it'll be a while before.
Is that the public area or everywhere?
My apartment gets renovated.
Wow. Well,
and
that's wonderful.
They're going to move me from the second floor to the first floor.
Oh, that'll make it easier if you don't have to mess with the elevator.
Yes.
Good for you. Well, when will all of that happen, or is it happening already?
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Okay, well.
Besides, I have some stuff I need to get rid of first.
I was getting ready to say it may be a chance for you to downsize. Which is what I'm trying to do in my house. All right, I'm going to step back over here by this table. I've got to check and see if anybody is wanting to be let in to our online meeting. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
How are you?
Good.
How are you doing?
Being here is a good thing.
I'm hanging in there.
That's about all we can do.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
Yeah. It is. The ages get there. You really know that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Rod. Hello, Judy.
Hello. Here's your communion.
Huh? What's the
communion?
Oh.
Okay.
Thank you.
last night.
Oh, that's right. How was it?
It was excellent.
Good. Hot and sweaty and good. I'm glad to hear all of that.
With a little bit of AC there, here and there, in the key places.
Camps have gotten better in that regard. Although I can remember many a summer out at Florida Bible Camp where there was air conditioning. I think the director's room had it. And the infirmary had it, and that was it. I can remember getting up from lunch one day, walking outside, taking off my shirt, and literally just wringing the water out of it, and then going back in and finishing lunch. So, good morning.
So just about everywhere has got some sort of an AC in there. So that's
that tells you how camping has, I would say, improved, changed.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
You're doing okay?
I was a kid. Absolutely.
Oh, good. That's what it's good for you.
Yeah.
Did you stay in one of the camp, one of the cabins?
Yeah. I was a counselor for the cabin.
All right. What age did
that?
Too young. I think,
good for you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
that
is
awesome.
I had a blast.
Not easy,
so
but.
Went out with her
yeah, it has its moments.
It does.
And it's over there where the Kmart used to be.
Who?
Robin and James.
If you live in here?
Oh. They're building a house here now. She'll be back and forth because she's not going to give up that nice job she has. That will pay for both homes. So that is the plan.
Well,
yesterday.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, though.
Oh,
all right.
Well.
Good.
I thought, I'm going to try it. You know, I've got to be getting better. It's been 16
I'll be right
months.
Back, but I do have a prayer request, so I'll tell you when I get back.
All right.
I have been stuck right ever since.
Good morning.
Where's your lovely wife this morning?
We have a 3-year-old grandson that is more or less untamable. And so she's going to plan to come here at 10:30.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Since you've gone to the New King James, what are the words that are in faint?
Sorry.
Are they words that are not in?
That's the idea. Good thing to bring up so we can do other things. has some words in there in the lesser dark. So why some of the things and others are wrong? That's because mainly included in worship of God. And sisters?
I need to make an announcement.
You want to make an announcement?
Yes, please. Jeannie White's house has been sold. There are miscellaneous items left from the house and the two garages. It will be open on this coming Saturday, July 23rd from 1 to 4. If you want to come by and look and see if there's anything you want. Again, that's this Saturday, July 23rd, from 1 to 4. Her address is 5212 Northwest 56th Court in Deer Run. And I went by over there yesterday, and I thought, there's still some stuff there family name on it, so I'm hoping that's going to all be gone. But there were quite a few things like spices and pots and pans and bowls and some furniture items. So that is a bedroom set that doesn't have anything written on it, so I don't know if anybody wants that. Anyway, there were several things, and then I looked in the garage, and I can't name all the stuff out there.
Were there tools?
There were some tools.
Like a table saw?
Some tools. Pardon?
Was it like a table saw?
No.
No, okay.
Some people had already come by and had gotten some stuff, particularly the tools. Mm. The people who had, like, bronze and Breon's had helped her with the ramp and stuff, mm-hmm. and they saw stuff. Oh, and Jeff Waters.
Okay.
So they did have first dibs on tools. I don't know where all the took.
All right,
but,
thank you.
Anyway, people who had helped her
yes.
had looked at things first. But anyway, that'll be this Saturday. Pass it on. I didn't really think it was an announcement that we made from the pulpit. So we're just kind of passing on the information.
Well, thank you for doing that. Do you know what arrangement is made for things that will not be picked up?
I would imagine they will call 3 men in a truck.
All right.
None of them live here.
Okay.
That's why it's taken them so long to get the family stuff out.
Okay.
So I figure they're just going to, it's not up to us to do that. No.
No, I was wondering because there may be some things left that would still be desirable for people that don't know about it. And
the thing is, it's locked. And we are going to need to give up our keys by August the 9th. Before then, that's when the people who bought it are going to take over in that house.
Okay.
August 9th.
Right. Thank you. All right. Well, we're getting a little bit of a late start, but we've been doing the Lord's business here. Do you have prayer requests that you would like? Yeah.
My mother's brother is in the hospital, and he's not doing too terribly well. His name is Brooks Yeomans.
The name again?
Brooks Yeomans.
Brooks Yeomans.
Y-E-O-M-A-N-S. I'm sure you probably know how to spell it, but
where is that?
Morganton, North Carolina. About an hour from where I was born and my mom is from and everything like that. I don't know the details on what, I just know he's not necessarily doing so hot.
Okay, all right. We'll be praying for him. Yes, sir.
This is from a few weeks ago, but my mom's side of the family in Tennessee, my first cousin, her son, his two kids, his wife is keeping the kids away from my first cousin. Mm-hmm. No apparent reason at all.
Okay.
They have to take legal action, I don't know.
What family is name? What is the family name?
It's Becky Bates.
Bates?
I'm Becky Bates.
We'll ask for the Lord's intervention on that. We don't know all the details, but God does.
Yeah. Investigation.
When you put the Bates family in here, you think of the Bates Motel.
Sorry for the name.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Mary Gentry is supposed to have a knee replacement on Tuesday.
All right. Right. I haven't had anybody have a report on Rodney?
Were they supposed to have him on Friday?
I don't know.
I thought it was this Friday.
Okay, Friday.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay. You said Ruby Lee and who else?
Pat Red.
Oh, Pat Red, sure.
She has a broken ankle.
Really? Good, glad to get all those names down, and William, yes.
Well, it's good news, today's my husband's birthday.
For a celebration?
Yeah, we're glad you're still with us, brother.
That's right, I thank God every day, and especially today.
This is only an aside, the way the state pension system is set up, you make a choice when you retire as to whether your monthly check will go on until your spouse also dies, or whether it'll stop when the retiree stops. And guess what I have? It stops when I stop. So I tell my wife, take good care of me.
Well, there's three choices. One, 10 years also. And you're 10 years after you retire. But I didn't want where she gets it forever. So.
Well, hey, that's even better. Yeah. Forever. Yeah. Man, I thought that was only what the scriptures tell us about. That was forever. I didn't know it was just the state of Florida.
We'll just have some
equipment okay. Too much frivolity here this morning. Other prayer requests. All right. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, it is a joy to come before you. You are the magnificent God of the universe. There is no other God. Only you have the power to control all of the sun, the moon, the stars, and even those who do not do your will. You have the power to lead them in the directions that they want to go, even if it is for their own lack of salvation. But Father, we come to you right now because we want to bring before you people that we want to have your special attention. We want to ask for the Brooks family and the relative of people here. We pray that you will bless him because we know he's not doing well. Also, we are praying for your intervention in the Bates family where there's confusion about who should have visitation rights. We pray also for Mary Gentry, who's going to be having knee surgery. And we pray also for sisters Ruby Lee and Pat Redd. And we pray that you will give them relief from their pain, but also that you will bless them in successful healing. Lord, there are so many things that we are concerned about. We won't say we're worried. We're concerned about the people in Ukraine who are enduring a terrible war. We pray that you will bless particularly those that have named your name, and we pray you will protect others that may not yet have become Christians, but we pray that you will show them what you can do for people who will commit themselves to you and your son Jesus. Father, we now come to you and we want to ask your guidance as we study from the book of Hebrews. We're particularly interested in how the writer of the Hebrews letter mentions the Holy Spirit. And we hope you will lead us in our study so that we will get the most we can from this study. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you for blessing us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're studying from the book of Hebrews. And I believe last time we covered more or less the first reference to the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 2, the first four verses. And did you have any things lingering in your mind, a question perhaps, before we move on to the third chapter of Hebrews? I felt like there might have been some things that you were thinking we ought to spend a little more time on. So if you're still thinking that, please remind us. Otherwise, we'll move on to chapter 3.
Yes, we were talking about, you know, miracles and how people were talking, you know, miracles happening all day. And they were used mainly in the first century to, you know, put Christ and his beliefs in front of people and get them to realize. So as far as miracles, you know, there aren't any now. But people forget that the power of prayer is great. And we have many examples in this congregation where prayers have been answered in this classroom as well, that we've had people that have been saved, I believe, just by the power of prayer in these congregations. And to the outside world, you know, they look at it as a miracle, where we, you know, that study the Bible and realize that miracles are no longer, realize it's the power of the prayer that has done this.
Yeah, and if we had to make sure that we kept the definitions separate for providence of God and a miracle, it gets to be a problem, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Because by whose power does his providence work? We pray. We want to have, we just prayed now for several people. We expect God to hear our prayer. We expect him to intervene in his way on behalf of those that we pray for. And yet, we recognize, too, that the kind of things that are pointed out in Scripture that were definitely miracles that were performed, for example, by the Apostle Paul, who was given the ability to perform miracles. And there's no doubt about that. Scriptures tell us that people could even bring to others handkerchiefs and other things that had been touched by any of the apostles. Apparently they all had that power that had been given to them by Jesus. So these are things that were identified as specific things that were done through the power of God, but by people that were not Jesus, and not God, certainly, but they were given that power by God through the Holy Spirit. And yes, brother.
Adding to what has been said, one of the essentials, vital essentials, is that a believer must accept his pardon as written. Now, having made that assertion, those that teach a confused miracles today, providence, we don't know this, that. When you listen to that speaker, ask yourself, based on their affiliation, have they accepted God's pardon as written? If you get a no answer, they're not in the kingdom, they're unsaved, and they've believed a fraud. If you believe a fraudulent teacher, well, I guess in the South or somewhere else, that's on you, is a phrase. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. And yet we do not negate the power of God to
Absolutely.
Do what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. That's the reason I say when we start saying that something is a miracle or not a miracle, we need to keep in mind we're not in a position to limit the power of God. And therefore, we still pray to him, even though we're imperfect people. And we know that we're not entitled to have God answer our prayers, but he may indeed answer prayers that we had no expectation, let's put it this way, of our status entitling us to that. I want to give you an example. This was back before Jesus was conducting his personal ministry. You remember we talked about John the Baptist and his the announcement that he was going to come and that he was an answer to the prayers of his parents. They were old. They were older than dirt. And they had no expectation of them receiving a blessing in a son at that point in their lives. And you know, what did the angel say? Your prayers have been heard, and you will have a son. Now, the father to be was doubtful about that. And so because he was doubtful, the angel said, well, here's a sign. You will not be able to speak until this actually happens. So sometimes people offer prayers not having any idea when or if their prayer will be answered in the way they're asking for it. So here we have people who had, let's say they had given up, but God hadn't finished with them. He was doing what he was going to do.
Amplifying your words, Cornelius' prayer was heard before he obeyed the gospel, before the Holy Spirit came down on the hearers of Peter at his house. The angel says, your prayers have been heard. And he wasn't in the kingdom, and he wasn't forgiven, and he needed the cleansing power, but his prayer was heard.
That's right.
Again, supporting the Zacharias story.
Yeah. I'm reluctant to say anything that would imply to a hearer that, anybody wants to can get their prayers heard by God and their prayer will be answered, because there's no such promise. There's no such promise of that in Scripture. And yet, as you point out and others have pointed out, God has at times answered prayers because he chose to do that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And he has all power, all rights, because he created us and he created everything around us. People have been talking a lot in the last week or so about the telescope that has identified light that left the source of the light so many million years ago. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but whatever God chose to do, that's his business. And, I don't think that the earth is that old, or the universe is that old. But if that was the case, then we have to go back and look at Genesis and say, what does it mean that he spoke light into existence on a certain day? Well, it might mean that, just that.
It means he did it.
Yeah, he did it, that's right. I don't know how many days in our terminology it took to do it, but it happened on a certain day as far as Genesis is concerned, yeah.
Again, how old was Adam when he was created? Did he have the appearance of age? He certainly did. He was a grown man. There's more to say, but
yeah,
we need to limit because of time. Back to you. Adam was a certain age when he was made. He was formed from the dust of the earth.
Right.
The earth can be formed with the appearance of great age.
Right. You want to say more?
Trying to limit the...
Okay. Yes.
Just in James 5, it tells us the prayers of a righteous man. Availeth much. And so, like Cornelius, he was a righteous man. Was he saved at the time? No. But his prayer, God heard his prayers and answered.
And he was well spoken of by the brothers. So, yeah. And there are a lot of things in Scripture that we just need to be careful that we don't draw, make assumptions about, that God hasn't made that completely clear to us. When you have a child born, for example, with a severe birth defect, and you find a doctor that can deal with that and can basically heal your child, to you may say that was a miracle. And it might be that the doctor would say that it was a miracle too, but the point I'm trying to make here is that our perception of what God does might possibly be different from what his perception is. It may be a miracle to you, it may be a daily activity of God, because that's the way he is. He is not predictable. God can do whatever he wishes to do. Well, this is fun. Anybody else want to get into this? Yes. No? Okay, all right. Yes, sir, go ahead. Say that again.
God speaks to us through Christ today, not through any other means. And there's no other means to be saved except through Christ.
Right. Absolutely. There is no other means except through Christ.
And one other thing.
He made that clear, didn't he?
Right. And, worship of angels is prohibited here.
Yeah. But the writer of Hebrews really does close the door on a lot of theories that people have had about the relationship we have with God. He's writing especially to people who are of Jewish background, but he also can be understood very clearly when you're talking with people that are not Jewish at all, but who have some mistaken ideas about what God expects of us in this era. You'll run into a lot of things like that, where people are saying, well, I know that God is good and God is forgiving and all that, and therefore, if I can be a good person, well, then I know I'm going to heaven. Whoa, what does it mean, good person? That's where you get in trouble when you start talking about everybody's going to be saved. God would love for everybody to be saved. In fact, that's the reason he's delayed the second coming of Jesus, because he's waiting for people to believe on Jesus and be saved. But he's not, as far as Scripture is concerned, he is not extending his salvation to people just because they're good. Well, you can't be getting good, can you? I know people who say, I'm a good person, and then if you are not careful, you'll start thinking, that's the way a good person lives. Because you start imagining what a good person would do if they wanted to be saved. And I think all you have to do is go to Scripture and you'll find out, won't you? Mm. Okay, yes, sir.
How many people have you heard? I've heard this before from a lot of people that are not biblically trained in the Word and everything. They say, well, hell is only going to be for Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Hitler. I've heard that so many times. Like, everybody else is good. You know, it's like, no.
Yeah.
They've had this that argument, and I go, and
that's the point I think that Vernon was making a while ago, that there are a lot of evil theories in the world. And people will say, we don't need Christ in order to be saved. You know, God is a forgiving God. Well, wait a minute. What about Jesus? How's he involved in all of this? But if you don't go back to the text, and if you don't have somebody to teach you from the text, what's going to happen to you? Unfortunately, no promise of salvation. And if you think about it, not too hard, but if you just think about it casually, how much did God say to the people of Israel about salvation or heaven, things like that? Not much. If you read the Psalms, you'll see a forecast, a prophecy of what's going to happen, how Jesus would not be, his body would not see corruption, that sort of thing. But for the most part, everything was based upon the land. You're going to have long life on the land that I'm giving you. That's what the major concept was. Is that what we're supposed to be valuing in this era? No, we're not. We are spiritual Israel, yeah. But we are not tying our salvation to something that is tangible. It is all promises from God, which to us is sufficiently tangible. But the point is, and you were making the point very well, that when we are confronted with what God wants of people in order to be saved, the only way you can know is that what the Bible says? If that isn't what the Bible says, got to go back, look at the Bible, see what it does say. And that has been the principle upon which New Covenant has been established. And here we are in the book of Hebrews, and he's talking about the New Covenant. He's talking to Jews who are wavering about whether they should be giving up the details of the Jewish order and also giving up the New Covenant. They were wavering in their relationship with God, and the writer of Hebrews is trying to bring them back to the solid facts of Jesus Christ and who he is. Well, shall we go on?
Yes.
I love this because it's better for you to bring it up than for me. All right, so I think we're down here to Hebrews 3, is that right?
Yes.
Very good. And we only have 15 minutes left, which is normal. So let's look at this. By the way, where is this quotation taken from, the one that we are reading in Hebrews 3, 7 through 8? Well, how about Psalm 95?
95, 7 through 11.
Okay, there you go. When you run into Hebrews and in many versions, you'll find that it's set aside as though it were poetry, and these are usually from the Psalms that the quotation is taken. Not always, but it is at least dealing with things that were told the Jews before Jesus came. So you can always see in here how that the writer of Hebrews is bringing them back to those things which they had accepted all their lives and trying to show them that this had fulfillment in Jesus Christ and in God's elevation of him to be equal with God. So over and over again you're going to see this. Now here in the third chapter he says, What is it about salvation? Well, do not harden your hearts as was done in the rebellion. What rebellion is he talking about here? The rebellion in the wilderness. How many years did they suffer because of their rebellion?
40 years.
That's a lifetime for a lot of people. I wonder what the life expectancy was for a Jew in those days. I don't know.
Variable.
Hmm?
Variable.
It was variable,
I mean,
of course.
You have Anna and others that were of great age, Zachariah, Elizabeth, and then there were others that died when they were very young.
Yeah. Still true, isn't it? So the book of Hebrews is trying to tell the Jewish people that are wavering in their faith in Jesus is that all that is happening, all that has ever happened, has been known by God, and he has revealed all that to us aforehand. And so when you run into things like this here in Psalm 95 and quoted in Hebrews 3, keep in mind that the writer is trying to emphasize to the people that it is a bad idea to step away from the new covenant because it had been prophesied way before it happened, before Jesus came. All been prophesied. And he's basically saying to them, don't give up on Jesus Christ. He is the key to your salvation and mine. So if we let ourselves get off that track, as Brother Vernon has pointed out, if you try to say there's any way to God except by Jesus, well, you are absolutely violating what Jesus said. What is it he said? No one comes to the Father except by me. Boy, that's really a very strong statement and was considered blasphemy by the religious leaders of his day. So he was stepping out there in treacherous ground if it weren't true. But it was true. No one can come to the Father except by him. So he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days in the wilderness. So he is saying here, writer, is saying, you are in danger of losing what you had because you are rebelling against Jesus. So keep that in mind. If we ever step over the line and say, well, it isn't Jesus that we're worshiping, it isn't God we're worshiping, it's just that we go to church, or something like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about maintaining your commitment to Jesus Christ, who has been given all power by the Father. So, do you see anything else that you want to mention in regard to this quotation from Psalm 95? Yes.
Sure. Think about Noah and his family. You notice they did not get out of the ark until God told them to get out of the ark. They didn't abandon ship. Today, if you're taking a cruise to Cozumel, it's not very smart to go over the side of your cruise ship. That's abandoning ship. Okay? You want to stay faithful, and the reason for the statements are when you're in Christ, you're in his boat. Now, Peter had sense enough when Jesus was approaching the boat, literally, Peter had sense enough to say, Lord, let me come. He asked permission to get out of his boat, and Jesus said, come on. Then Peter did incredible things, but notice the disciples on that stormy occasion stayed in the boat, and all we're emphasizing is when you're in Christ and you've obeyed the gospel and God has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, be faithful. Finally, when you're married, both of you in that relationship know what faithfulness is to each other. Do not abandon your marriage. So all of these are saying, when we go back to Hebrews, what was going on? They were infatuated with the Jewish culture and traditions, and they were abandoning the church, mm-hmm. abandoning Jesus, and going back to their comfort zone. And the Holy Spirit, through this word, is saying, do not do that to Jesus. Don't abandon him. Stay in the boat. Back to you.
All right. I think you've said it. Thank you. Well said. Okay, let's look now at the next scripture, which is from the 6th chapter of Hebrews. Now, probably are wondering, is the word impossible in the Bible? Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible with God, but what about us? It's very possible for us to do the impossible in that how in the world can we abandon Jesus Christ? How can, I mean, this is one of those questions that's rhetorical. That you can't abandon Christ if you expect to go to heaven. You just can't do that. It's one of those impossible questions. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Would that include you and me?
Yes.
And we've been enlightened.
Yes.
We've had the light of Jesus. Okay. Impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. What would that gift be?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit and salvation, which came. And have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's being very clear here, not just that you have been enlightened, but you have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God.
Amen.
and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame.
That's scary.
Yes.
That's scary.
That is very scary. One of our sisters asked, why is the word him here in a lighter print and the handout that I gave you, not in some of your versions, put him to an open shame? My understanding that the reason for that is that the pronoun him is not in all the Greek texts, but it's implied that he's talking about Jesus and how we are shaming him by our having abandoned him. What do you think? Have we ever put him to an open shame?
When you sin, you do.
Hmm?
When you sin, you do.
When you sin, you are denying. You're denying who he is. You're denying what you have believed in at one time, and now you are denying it in your way of life, perhaps even in your teaching. I know of people who have actually abandoned the church. Preachers who have walked away from the way that they had embraced when they became Christians. Why do they do that? I don't know why they have lost their faith. It may be because they quit studying the Bible and they began listening to fables and other teachings that are completely incompatible with what Jesus taught. But he is saying here that there is something, if you do this, if you find yourself giving up on what you were once enlightened to believe, and then forgetting about all of the gifts that you have received from God. How is it possible for you to actually do that? Well, he's asking a question here to get you to think. You know, when you were in school, probably a teacher said, here's a thought question for you, and they expected you to think about it. If you don't think about it, well, you're not going to understand what it's all about. But he's basically saying, look at what you're walking away from if you walk away from the new covenant which God has made with you. All right.
There's two choices.
Yeah.
You can walk by the desires of the flesh, and you can inherit spiritual death, or you can walk by the power of the Spirit and inherit eternal life.
Yes. Yes, walk by the Spirit. If the Apostle Paul was writing Hebrews, he would probably write Galatians, and he did. The idea that there are some things that are works of the flesh, and there are some things that are fruit of the Spirit. And he says, walk by the Spirit. If you don't walk by the Spirit, oh boy, you are really going to think again. When you read this passage right here, you have been given the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in that if you follow him, if you follow his teaching, if you understand that he is ready to lead you into paths of righteousness, and then you walk away from it, what is there? In fact, later we'll see. What sacrifice can be made by God other than what he's already made? He's already given his only son for us. What more could he do? There is no more sacrifice.
Interjecting. I think as we discuss this topic, I think of Judas Iscariot. He was an apostle. He cast out demons. As best as we can, he had all the blessings
of being an apostle.
Peter and the rest.
Yeah.
They asked Jesus at the supper, who is it, Lord? Judas
had hidden himself very well. Jesus knew who it was, but back around to my assertion, having experienced all of that, or like some have said, he had the best preacher, the Lord Jesus himself. He witnessed the dead raising. Did Judas walk away from all of that to betray the Lord? Why would we want to be like Judas?
Right.
We didn't think.
That's another rhetorical question. Why would we do that?
I got inspiration from him.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we could take time, if we had time, to look at each of these things that are really gifts that we're saying, I am not interested in that anymore. Are you ever willing to actually come out and say that? Or do we sometimes slide into a disobedient attitude toward God? I don't know what happened with Judas. I don't know whether he had an experience that just sickened him, made him feel that it just wasn't worth to continue being a disciple. I don't know. But Satan,
a big deceiver.
What's that?
The devil is a big deceiver, and he probably gave him some idea that this was the way to go. I don't think he really rejected Jesus. I think he really felt like after he had betrayed him, that, oh man, I did the wrong thing. In fact, he said he did. He went back to the leaders and said, you know, take this money back. I did something wrong here.
Okay. So if we were to go back and see what Peter said before Pentecost when they were talking about choosing a successor, did he say that Judas had gone to hell?
That's not his call.
That's right. He said, who went where he should go.
To his own place.
That's right, to his own place. So that's a lesson for us, that we should not judge whether somebody's going to go to heaven or not. Because Judas may have repented completely. Judas may have made his peace with God. We don't know. We know he committed suicide, so that kind of goes counter to our understanding of whether people can go to heaven if they've committed suicide. So we don't know the answers to all the questions that we'll be getting an answer to when you and I meet at the gate. Having said that, let's hope that we don't meet at the gate this week. I hope that you are back next Sunday and we'll pick up where we were right now in the Hebrews 6th chapter. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for having taken us in and called us your children. We know that we did not deserve to become your children, and yet you reached to us and said, if you will obey me, I will give you the blessings that are immeasurable. Thank you, Father, for having loved us so. We pray that you will help us to stay within your family and not give in to the lies that Satan will try to tell us. May we always give you our allegiance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all. Next week, let's do it again. Where is it? Oh.